You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where we're hated by Ayn Rand. I'm your host, Justin M. Wisniewski, and I don't mean the dead thinker. Seriously, go to our Instagram page, search through the followers for Ayn, then slide into her DMs with some hate for hating us. Joining me this trip from the fields of soy, I'm not really sure what that means, Daniel T. Richards.
I'm in my home state of Illinois this week, visiting family and showing off the new Bubba, etc., to much anticipation, and I am surrounded, in fact, by fields, acreage of soybeans. So that's where I am. Exciting.
What happened to the amber waves of grain?
Oh, no, you don't eat the corn that's raised in Illinois. No one eats the corn from Illinois. The corn in Illinois feeds animals that we eat, but we don't actually eat the corn. So you have to crop rotate every year, Justin. You didn't learn about crop rotation and basic science. Keep the minerals in the soil all fresh and healthy. So one year they grow corn and one year they grow soybeans.
No, we learned about Larry Bird and Ted Williams and how bad the Patriots were when I was young.
No wonder you grew up to be such a well-adjusted human being.
That's correct. And speaking of well-adjusted human beings, by the way, William is well-adjusted, but what he will mention is not a well-adjusted human being. Joining us from Dale's Lawn, identifying as a woman to forego his white male gay privilege, William Green.
Hello, hello. Yeah, you kind of alluded to it. We have some breaking news. We're probably not going to cover in depth, but there's a shooting in Jacksonville, Florida. At a Madden NFL 19 qualifying tournament, so an esports tournament in Jacksonville. And won't give any details. A lot of things are unconfirmed right now, but we certainly will be talking about it on Discord and probably next show.
Well, you already sent that video on Discord where you see the laser sight on that one player's shoulder.
The controller gets disconnected right away, too, so...
Yeah, is it confirmed that he was one of the people who was shot?
Yeah, he confirmed it on Twitter, I believe. One of the gamers confirmed it that was true.
But
like I
said,
a lot of things. I think so based on unconfirmed reports. I haven't seen any confirmed reports, but it does sound like there was a hand injury for the player who was playing there. So nothing. Like I said, everything's kind of up in the air. And I don't trust any of the mainstream outlets, so getting everything directly from Twitter, which is always hard to confirm.
Yeah, and of course the immediate reaction here, Daniel, is why is this continuing to happen, right?
Of course, it's a question that we'll have to grapple with every single time it does happen. And not only why does it happen, that's the root cause, but what about the root cause can we fix or mitigate, or in some way help prevent the end result without stifling otherwise law-abiding citizens' rights? Yeah. All difficult questions that I'm 100% sure no politician will be interested in.
So yeah, this is particularly tough for a lot of folks in gaming because there's a lot of trust in a lot of these regional tournaments. And so there's a lot of... concern, and so there's going to be a lot to talk about going forward about how these kinds of tournaments can continue to be run with safety in mind.
I don't think that question is just limited to gaming tournaments anymore, and I think that's what needs to be the immediate aftermath here. Is it's just this could happen anywhere, anytime, any place. We need to move beyond thinking this is a school shooting problem. This is a gaming problem. This is just a problem, and it's something we need to be aware of.
Indeed. Speaking of other problems we need to be aware of.
Yeah. I was trying to take a beat there because that is a dour note to head into this episode on. But there are a lot of different types of problems to talk about this week in the news with Daniel T. Richards.
Well, I assure you, Mr. Listener, it really is that bad. These aren't harmless criminals. This isn't just a fad.
Hashtag MeToo leaders are struggling to respond to the bombshell revelations that Asia Argento, is that how you pronounce her name? Asia? I've been saying Asia all week, and then I was corrected. The allegations that Asia Argento, who was an early proponent of Me Too and came out about a year ago accusing mogul Harvey Weinstein of rape, that she herself has paid off a sexual assault accuser, in fact, a statutory rape accuser, by the name of Jimmy Bennett, an actor who says that Asia Argento assaulted him in 2013 when he was 17 years old. Since Argento has been one of the most visible faces of hashtag MeToo in recent months, many feminists struggled to make sense of what the accusations could mean for the movement. Tarana Burke, don't know this woman, Tarana Burke tweeted the day after Bennett's allegations were first made public that this. She said, quote, "I've said repeatedly that the hashtag MeToo movement is for all of us, including these brave young men who are now coming forward. It will continue to be jarring when we hear the names of some of our faves connected to sexual violence unless we shift from talking about individuals and begin to talk about, guess what, gentlemen, power. Sexual violence is about power and privilege. That doesn't change if the perpetrator is your favorite actress, activist, or professor of any gender. And we won't shift the culture unless we get serious about shifting these false narratives." Amber Tamblyn, who has also been a voice in the Me Too movement, says, quote, "You don't get to destroy 2 decades worth of work at Tarana Burke. I'm sorry. You don't get to destroy 2 decades worth of the work Tarana Burke has done," different, "for the hashtag MeToo movement because of this woman's actions. Don't you even dare." Rose McGowan tweeted, quote, "I got to know Asia Argento 10 months ago. Our commonality is the shared pain of being assaulted by Harvey Weinstein. My heart is broken. I will continue to work on behalf of victims everywhere." And she later tweeted out, "Oh, for fuck's sake, I'm not defending." So, Justin, do you think the response from the feminist movement has been appropriate, on target, what you expected, not expected? What make you of the Asia Argento allegations?
It's definitely not what I expected. Maybe I'm just cynical, but this is actually much more dialed back than I expected it to be. I expected them to basically say this doesn't matter and we shouldn't care about it because men are so much worse than women. I thought there would be minimization with the idea that he's 17 at the time that it happened, that he was a boy, and usually, you know, this hurts boys less than it hurts girls, and all of these sort of myths we have in this culture which minimize the sexual assault and the, you know, the victimhood of young men. So I expected all of that. But still, I don't think the response was appropriate enough. I don't think they pushed it far enough. This is the perfect time in this conversation to say that we need to move past this gendered collectivist thinking about this issue. And to see that maybe the issue is more of a Hollywood issue than it is this broader American cultural issue. Right now, we have this idea because of Me Too that everyone in America, every male in America acts like this, that every company, every man has been involved in a situation like this, because we're pushed forward with believing that what happened in Hollywood is what happens everywhere. And it's the same self-aggrandizing self-importance that Hollywood has pushed through for years that's made us believe that they're the cultural leaders and we should follow them when they're not. They live in this bubble, right? On 30 Rock, there was the joke about the attractive bubble. Well, that's sort of what Hollywood is. They live in this bubble with this little world where they think they don't have to follow rules and they can just get what they want, and behavior like this becomes normal. And as we see, it becomes normal so both genders are participating in it. Right, this woman, I guess, actually played this guy's mother in a bunch of things, which makes it even more fucked up, if you think about it.
Right. There is you alluded to it, but I think there is some argumentation to examine, at least on the side of, you know, a 17-year-old boy not being particularly traumatized by this kind of activity in the right circumstance. I'm not saying this is that circumstance, but the thing you alluded to, I think, is what makes this story particularly horrific, which is that she has known this kid since he was 7, and she played his mother in a film. A film, by the way, where I believe I read that he was portraying a child prostitute who was raped. So, what a role. And she referred to him often as, like, my son, and she would take pictures of him and her together, being, like, you know, his surrogate mother. And that's, I think, what makes this psychologically fairly terrible, fairly horrifying. I don't know. What say you, William?
Yeah, I was pretty disturbed by the picture. I know the picture TMZ released. We're still not sure if that's the actual picture that's in the alleged complaint. But yeah, this is not about men or women, and this is not about power, which is the other narrative. This is about a potential person grooming another person for sex. I mean, that's really the consequence of this, right? Like, if you, I don't know how it's possible to want to have sex with someone who you've known continuously since they were 7. Like that's damaging. That shows damage on one side, right? And
yeah,
and causes damage on the other side. I just don't get it.
Yeah, seems particularly heinous.
I have a question.
In many senses, yeah.
Something that I expected to come up, and I'm surprised it hasn't, and I think it will come up. So I just want to raise this to see how we would respond to it. What about the idea that victim or assaulters create more assaulters? So what about the idea of this is ultimately Harvey Weinstein's fault? Can we bring the timeline to that, where ultimately because he committed the crime to her, because he sexually assaulted whatever her name is, Agamemnon, whatever her name is, because he assaulted her, she then was fucked up in the head, which turned around and caused her to do that to somebody else because she thought it was okay?
Yeah, I don't know the timeline, and I'm too, what's the word, lazy and disinterested, both words, to do the research on that. But it did come up, by the way, Justin. Rosanna Arquette tweeted, quote, "I know many rape and trauma survivors who act out sexually. The wounds they carry run deep. I pray for them. The
Hold
timing
on
of this
a second.
Story is
Hold
suspect.
Hold on a second.
Aja acting was still out. Raped by Harvey Weinstein. Yes.
Acting out? Rape is not acting out. Acting out might be, you know, becoming promiscuous or something, right? Like, yeah, I would agree with that statement, but acting out is not raping, right? Not statutory rape. Is that acting out?
That's
if you
a,
can blame the man, it is acting out, William.
That is a particular kind of acting out, I would say. Certainly.
Yeah, it's certainly an action.
Yes. Talking about reaching out and touching someone.
Wait, is acting out, William? Maybe you know this because you're in the gay community, but is acting out when, like, you are really apparently flamboyant in public?
I don't think so. But now I'm going to use that from now on.
I'm not just out. I'm acting out. Yeah, there's a funny double entendre to that. So I have to be that guy because we have to discuss it. Justin, you alluded to it in your comments, which is something I've heard many people talk about online, which is it really that bad? Meaning, if you put yourself in 17-year-old Justin mode and this very attractive actress seems to be coming on to you, do you see that as traumatic? Do you see that as the same thing as what Harvey Weinstein did to several ficus plants, for instance?
Is it as traumatic for the boy as it was for the plants? Is that what you're asking me?
Well, we can all agree it was more traumatic for the plants.
Yes, ficus lives matter.
I think it is traumatic, Daniel. Okay. I think that, especially in today's day and age, where we keep everyone in this adolescence through their 20s, is, you know, maybe, you know, 100, 150 years ago, where at 17 you were married, raising a family and running the family farm. That might have been 200 years ago. But you get my point about how culturally we've evolved to the point that a 17-year-old in high school or not, I mean, it might even be worse in Hollywood, right? We're talking about how the Hollywood culture is different. But a 17-year-old boy is still developing the concept in his head of what a healthy relationship is, what a healthy sexual relationship is. And that's going to be one of his first experiences. That's going to be one of his foundational experiences, especially when this woman has been a mother figure to him. We can't drop that context. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is totally traumatic to a guy that age.
Yeah, I think the key there is the almost familial relationship, right? Now, this is us looking from the outside in, right? But I can't imagine that being any other sort of relationship other than a familial or mentor-mentee sort of relationship. And that's just not, that's not healthy even if you're an adult, right? So if we're just talking about it in terms, you know, forget legality, right? The age of consent can be whatever it is. You know, it's different in different places. But in this case, it's a, you know, to adopt the feminist language, it is a power imbalance, right? Like, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah, and I agree. I'm just sort of being devil's advocate. Although Adam Carolla has what he calls the, well, I don't want to use the terminology, but he basically says that if he were in a courtroom interviewing Jimmy or any other male victim of this type of crime, he would ask them one question and one question only, which is, did you, have you since this incident, pleasured yourself thinking about this incident? And if the answer is yes, no crime, moving on. So that's, Adam Carolla's take on male sexual assault.
I mean, I get where he's coming from. The idea that if you find pleasure in it, then you're not actually assaulted because you're not actually suffering in any way. There's no harm done to you. But that's why I'm saying, that's why I use the phrase, and that's why I'm saying it's all about the foundational experience. It's all about how the victim develops his concept of relationships and sexuality. And if this is a foundational experience for him, and it does that, and this skews him in a way that he perhaps can never overcome, even through therapy. It might just be something you deal with, right? Because one of the things I'm thinking about in general in life is how much of the foundational psychology you develop from your relationships when you're young with your family and your friends and your experiences can you actually rewrite and fix? And how many do you just have to learn the proper coping mechanisms to deal with? Because it's true that our brains have less plasticity, less ability to be rewritten as we get older. So if this is a foundational experience for him, even if he believes it was pleasurable, does that mean it even actually was pleasurable? There has to be some sort of objective standard about what is healthy and what isn't. Because if someone, I mean, there are people who believe cutting themselves is pleasurable because they're fucked up in the head.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I agree, to be clear. And I think this incident in particular is one where the relationship and the power imbalance was such that this is clearly a traumatic incident. So, oy vey. Hashtag men too, apparently. Speaking of men, I don't know, firefighters battling California's largest fire have been hit by crippling data slowdowns, and they slam Verizon's tactics. This is from the Los Angeles Times, of course. A crew of firefighters from Silicon Valley had arrived in Lake County to help battle the largest blaze in California history, when suddenly their mobile internet service slowed to a crawl. Officials coordinating the firefighting effort inside the Santa Clara County Fire Department's command vehicle faced email delays and challenges updating web-based documents with critical information about deployment, Captain Bill Murphy said. They quickly learned that their provider, Verizon Wireless, had throttled down the department's connection to 1/200th or less than previous speeds because the agency had exceeded its data plan limit. Everyone's been there. Quote, "It essentially rendered those very routine communications almost useless or completely ineffective. They were essentially dealing with dial-up type speeds." A representative from Verizon told them the only way they could make the service faster immediately was to upgrade their plan at a higher cost. And so they did. And service improved. Justin, story or not a story?
This is only a story because it demonstrates how incompetent the fire department is. If you know you're in California where there could potentially the entire state could catch on fire, should you maybe upgrade your data plan so it's not the plan that you could run out of data on when the state's on fire? Maybe. But of course, these are also the same fucking people who won't desalinate the fucking ocean. Like, is there any time that proves they should just desalinate the ocean? You could just pick it up and dump it on the fire, and then your state wouldn't be on fire anymore. But no, you want to buy the cheap data plan, and you don't want to desalinate the fucking ocean. This is only a story.
Right. Yeah, go ahead.
This is only a story because it shows how absurd California is. One last thing before you go, Daniel. Did nobody fight fires before the internet? Like, you fucking lose your data and, like, your ability to fight fire is gone? Oh, that's right. You can't fight fire because you don't have water either.
William,
yes.
Related question. Why do they not have unlimited data?
Yeah, my hot take on this is they should fire their IT guy immediately.
Hot take. Under the fire story.
Under no circumstances should you get a contract where you get quote unquote unlimited data, but limited speed when you have an emergency service. Like, there's like, even in my world of gaming, there's different contracts for different levels of service, and if you require bandwidth, no matter what, you pay a premium. And you know what? There's a reason why you pay that premium, because that's the service that you're asking for. That's what you need. You're being upfront and telling them what you need. But in this case, they were relying on making a phone call and some sort of like not written down policy in order to get around the having to pay for the unlimited no cap service. That is an IT person who needs to be fired immediately.
And Justin, this story goes from farce to insidious when you realize that the Santa Clara County Fire Chief quote-unquote chronicled the incident in an addendum to a federal lawsuit filed Monday by 21
states.
This is
the real story.
Seeking to overturn the federal communications repeal of net neutrality rules. They're trying to use their own incompetence to say that the repeal of the net neutrality rules, which, by the way, literally has nothing to do with this, caused this incident. This now goes from dumb to evil.
I mean, I don't really need to say anything because you just summed up California with those like five sentences.
California, from dumb to evil.
Well, dumb to evil because it's like, we're incompetent. Let's vote for more government to fix the problem. I mean, they literally believe. This is the thing, right? You say evil, but there is a magnitude of stupidity here where I think people really believe that net neutrality would make things more fair.
Well, I mean, it is inconceivable to me what net neutrality actually has to do with what happened here. You picked a horrible data plan. Those horrible data plans existed when we had dumb net neutrality rules under the Obama administration. You could still have your data throttled if you use too much, if you pick the wrong plan, if you happen to be a total moron.
Dan,
I love that we live in a day and age where 3G networking is considered dial-up. Wasn't that long ago where we all got 3G service, right? And that's the service you get when they cut off your LTE caps. So
to be fair, I get really mad when my YouTube buffers on non-Wi-Fi when it's just on data and YouTube buffers. I'm like, come on! This is America!
Do you scream, this is dial-up?
I don't scream that. But Daniel, we all know that net neutrality is just code for government runs the internet. So they're just thinking that they're going to be prioritized because they're an emergency service if government runs the internet. That's all it is.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's a good thought, because if we actually applied net neutrality consistently, then we would have to not favor the firefighters in an emergency, right? Like,
that's
if,
right.
if that's the real principle here, is that we have to be neutral. We can't make judgments about which traffic to prioritize and not to prioritize. Then, of course, we would have a similar problem where in an emergency, everyone's talking to everyone on the phone and there's not enough bandwidth for the firefighters to do comms.
That's right. Yeah, if 6 million Los Angelinos want to watch midget porn, that's just as important as the firefighters' data.
Well, you joke, but imagine an earthquake in LA, right? How many people will be calling each other and texting each other? And if the, if we didn't have, non-neutral network services, emergency stuff wouldn't be able to get prioritized.
Yeah. So
it's
from dumb to evil.
Yeah. It's just, I lost the joke I was going to make because you
Thank
just
God.
Rambled on and on and on and on and on. No, this is what I was going to say. Yeah, you say that, but we understand it's just code for government taking over. It's not neutrality. I mean, supposedly the FCC makes the airwaves fair, right? Television airwaves. But Firefly was canceled after one season, and C-SPAN's been renewed how many times?
C-SPAN. I like how you think C-SPAN's a show. That's adorable. I'm not gonna.
I like how only the
father
on the podcast watches C-SPAN.
Hey, I work nominally in government. I gotta watch me some C-SPAN. Speaking of C banning, Ohio State suspends Urban Meyer for 3 games after an internal investigation that the head coach basically covered up for domestic abuse allegations of a former assistant coach. So Meyer said in a press conference after the suspension, "I want to apologize to Buckeye Nation. I followed my heart, not my head." The decision was announced exactly 3 weeks after Meyer was placed on paid administrative leave, while Ohio State probed what he knew about claims against former wide receivers coach Zach Smith. Meyer was put on leave hours after Smith's ex-wife went public with claims that she had told Meyer's wife that Zach Smith had shoved her against a wall and put his hands around her neck in 2015. The couple divorced in 2016, and Zach Smith was fired on July 23rd of this year after an Ohio court granted her a domestic violence protective order. Days later, Meyer told reporters at the Big Ten's preseason media day in Chicago that he was never told about any incident involving Smith and his wife in 2015. Justin, do you think that Urban Meyer may have been, I don't know, lying about this? And should we care?
Well, it's entirely possible. Let's be fair here to the fact that it's possible that he's lying, that he didn't know. I mean, this is also the guy who had Aaron Hernandez on his football team in Florida, and it's likely that Hernandez was a serial killer even back then. So I think history has proven that Urban Meyer may turn a blind eye to things. But at the same time, the only evidence that he really knew anything was that his wife was texting with the wide receivers coach wife, right?
I don't know the full story. Honestly, it's not one I've kept super up to date with.
Well, that's what I read. And they're saying, well, if his wife knew, of course he knew. Like, do you understand the amount of time this guy spends coaching football? It's entirely possible that he was just there coaching football and his wife was like, hey, do you want to hear about this? And which one of us, raise your hand on this audio show, if you have never wanted to have an excuse to ignore your partner, girlfriend's, wife's talk about inconsequential female drama. And he has his excuse. Oh, honey, I gotta watch the game film here. So it's entirely possible he didn't know.
I can totally imagine, Justin, Urban Meyer literally on his phone just doing the uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Uh-huh. While his wife is explaining that this assistant coach is beating his wife, and Urban Meyer's going, and never hears any of it. That's totally congruent with what I know about Urban Meyer.
Exactly. And then she gets mad at him and is like, oh, what are you looking at, cheerleaders on Instagram? And she grabs his phone and he's literally just looking at film.
That's so this is what gets you off? These X's and O's?
Right. You so this is bastard. My question for both of you guys. Are we now to the point that if anyone in our lives does anything that is against the law or against social justice, we're all culpable? So, like, if we find out, Daniel, that a guy we went to grad school with was beating his girlfriend at the time, are all of our jobs and livelihoods and entire lives at stake?
I'll let William answer first.
Yeah, I think yes. I mean, there's some crazy mandatory reporting requirements that are in the law for sexual harassment. And I say crazy not because I think that the reporting is bad, but the standard is pretty undefined. And so if I hear as a manager or owner of a company, if I hear anything, I have to like report it in a specific way, and there has to be certain HR like investigations. But it sort of like turns everyone into anything anyone says to you, even if it's not serious or you're not sure, you have to report in order to cover your own ass, which is a weird, it makes dynamics weird, right? Because if someone wants to share something that happened to them years ago and they want to share it honestly with me as a manager or an owner of a company, if it mentions something like domestic abuse, I have to report it. Is that the world that we live in now?
Yeah, it's an interesting standard, and the question is, like, in domestic abuse cases, couldn't you be in a really difficult situation where if you go and talk to this guy, for instance, or if you find out, you know, if you report him, and like, what if he does something to the wife because of that? Like, that, to me, is a very complicated situation where maybe Urban's fault here is that he didn't talk more with Courtney about what she wanted to do and how she wanted to handle it. But it seems like you put the spouse in a pretty dangerous situation if you start just getting involved. I don't know. I could go either way on this particular case.
I think
other cases that are very clearly overboard. Yeah. We'll get to that in a moment. But
yeah, I think in this case, the thing, based on just the facts we see here, that team to the south, their head coach is being held accountable.
That's right. William is a Michigan fan, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
is being
now
held
see.
Accountable for hearsay at best, right?
Yeah.
Nothing in this article says that he was told about this from someone with firsthand knowledge.
Right.
So the best case we have is hearsay, and that seems like an incredibly low standard. Right.
Well, yeah, we're treating everything like everyone is Joe Paterno now.
Yes.
And even then, what you just said, Daniel, you know, Joe Paterno is an extreme case where he covered it up, right? So I'm not excusing Joe Paterno. But even then, if you look at Joe Paterno, you look at Urban Meyer, you look at Bill Belichick, the fault here is you have men who are obsessed. And the fact that I'm not making this a gendered statement, I'm just saying they are men. They happen to all be men. They're just obsessed with coaching football. So all they know and all they know how to do is coach football. They're literally spending, I mean, what's 5 times 24, William? Or 7 times 24, what is that?
What am I, a calculator?
Yeah, you're a computer guy. 7 times
William,
24.
You're the engineer on this show. Let's go.
Yeah.
What's 5 times 20?
168.
7 times 24, there's only 168 hours in a week?
No.
No.
What?
7 times 24
is 168.
Oh, it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that'll give you a reality check there about how short a week is.
Ladies and gentlemen, all of us graduated from college.
I'm having an existential crisis right now. There are only 168 hours in a week, and I'm wasting all of them. but yeah, there's literally 168 hours, and for all 168 hours of them, they are living football. They're eating. They're taking a shit while they're watching film. I'm not exaggerating here. So these are men who do not know how to handle these situations. Does this excuse them? No, but that's why this is happening in these situations. It's the same thing with the Hollywood shit. We have these exclusive communities that have these weird fucking cultures because we have these weird fucking people in them. And then we go, here's a standard for how to judge the entire fucking world. Which, Daniel, next story.
Speaking of low bars, we don't have to get into this in depth, but my goodness, you don't ever hear NASCAR come up on this show. But Connor Daly, who is apparently a NASCAR driver, has lost his sponsorship from Lilly Diabetes after it turned out that his father used a racial slur in the 1980s. That's before he was born. So this company has pulled their sponsorship because of something his father did before he was conceived. This is a new standard of insanity for social justice.
Well, I'm glad we don't have any sponsors because my great uncle, who recently passed last year, I don't think I ever had a conversation where he did not use a racial slur. So well, that would disqualify me from all future sponsorships on this show.
Are you listening up, William's employer? I think it's time to fire someone.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad ran a company that supplied the army and the FBI, so I pretty much come from the warmongering patriarchy. So,
I'm sorry, Madeline Kahn, but you're a descendant of Genghis Khan, and since he murdered a third of the planet, we're going to have to pull your sponsorship.
Yeah.
This is exactly where this is headed. If everything is tribalism, and everything is what group you belong to, and everything is applies to all people at all times, then I guess we all have someone in our family who has said
it's
going
to get very Thanos as we trace 50% of the population back to the one single-celled amoeba that ate the other single-celled amoeba in the primordial soup of life, and that was genocide. So we're going to have to wipe out half the planet to make up for the genocide of the one amoeba family.
Well, and they've been trying to push this through with the whole, America was founded on the rape and murder of the Native Americans, so you don't deserve any of it, so let's give them all casinos, and then reparations. That's what they've been trying to push through for years, and it's all based on the idea that people believe that there's either two ways you can believe about the world. You can either believe in the trader principle, which are people can work together to mutually beneficial outcomes, or you can believe that one person is always oppressing another person, and that's how the other person becomes successful. And that's what they're pushing through right now. And now we see the logical result of all of it. So because this guy's dad was an oppressor, he does not deserve anything.
Yeah, indeed. Well, speaking of not deserving things, millennials, my God, millennials, you're killing Hooters. Stop it. So it turns out that the American Institution of, and I'm not making this term up, breastaurants are under attack by millennials, of course, and it's a sign that we're going to have to reinvent the wheel altogether. So, should we go ahead and do away with these subpar sports bars where women's bodies are the main attraction? Absolutely not. We just got to keep the Hooters brand, but make it body positive, according to one man, and maybe like an adult arcade, and also include therapy. Lots and lots of cheap professional therapy. At least that's the plan of Eric Adam Hovis, who has high dreams and expectations and took to Twitter to talk about his plan to fix the Hooters dynasty. So millennials are killing Hooters, I guess, Justin. And that's particularly sad for you and I, right? Because Hooters is a Clemson institution.
Ah, you stole my factoid. I love going into Hooters and asking the waitresses that because they get so confused. Because I always go to them, so do you know why you wear orange? And they don't have any answer for their question. They don't think like it was a real choice. They think it was just a random choice. But in fact, one of the major donors to Clemson is one of the founders of Hooters, and that's why they wear orange. It is in fact for Clemson orange.
Indeed. Justin, I have a semi-traumatic memory of going to Hooters with you in Southern California for a Patriots game.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the first ever Patriots game you watched with me at Hooters, where Brady moves me out.
I've tried to block that from my memory entirely. But no, this particular was on the opening day of the NFL season, which happened to be 9/11. And so we were going to Hooters, which, by the way, in Southern California, when you're watching football, you have to go in at 10 a.m. because the West Coast is on the objectively wrong time zone. And so we get to Hooters at 10 a.m. on September 11th. And the waitresses are all dressed as slutty firefighters and police officers to commemorate 9/11.
Delightful and I found this yet unrefined.
I found this horribly appalling, and literally no one in the entire restaurant, including Justin, was even like didn't even move the needle for anyone.
Well, football was on. I mean, what are they doing? Tom Brady.
They're like, nah, it's a touchdown, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, something. We're on to Miami, whatever. And I was like, look at them! They're slutty firefighters. There is 9/11. Yeah. So.
To be fair,
never again. Hooters deserves to die.
This was like the anniversary of 9/11, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
this
indeed.
Is to be clear. Because this was,
William, have you ever even been to a Hooters?
Yes.
Also, what do you order?
I stay away from the chicken breasts. But
hot dog, please.
Yeah, I've been to Hooters in Flint, Michigan, near where I grew up.
Oh.
Yep, my uncle retired from the fire department in the Flint City. Not the same uncle I was talking about earlier. Though I'm sure being a firefighter, he might have said some racial slurs in his day.
Only when his data plan was slowed down.
Yeah, when he retired, he worked as one of the cooks in Hooters. So I did go. So I've been to a Hooters. But I have a question, and I know we link to the stories on Midside.com. Is that Ben Savage in the picture holding up one of the Hooters girls, the second one from the left there?
please tell me it's Ben Savage, because that would be the second picture that I didn't notice Ben Savage because of breasts.
No, I think it is. It could be. So we'll make sure to link to that story on the Midside.com.
Wait, I'm scrolling through here.
Yeah. Right at the top.
Oh, yeah. No, that picture's really old. It's from, like, the 80s.
Maybe he's forever young, though, right? He's looked the same age all his life. So I think it's
It looks like Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Kelly Kapowski, is sitting on his shoulders. So
true.
No, but I have a thing about this. Apparently, they're claiming Hooters is losing popularity because millennials don't like breasts. And this is, like, is this a study that's been done?
Yes, by the institution known as Pornhub. So Pornhub releases all their...
All right, I have to ask, this is my gay privilege sneaking back in. Breasts seem like an important part of the attraction to women, just as an outsider, like if you look at all the body parts. So how can that possibly be true?
Well, that's what I'm wondering too, but maybe
they
it's
look like
I'm,
an important
I'm white
part.
And I'm an older millennial. But I don't like... And don't get me wrong, I'm definitely an ass guy. Like, you know, a woman who takes care of herself and is good in shape, like, she has a nice ass. That's important. And that's how I can, you know, tell you're in shape. But how do you not care about breasts?
If we're going by order of importance, you know, eyes, brain, lungs. I'm really into kidneys, livers.
Well, but these are all... I'm talking about hearts. The distinguishing thing about your attraction to women.
Right.
I feel like... breasts should be on that list as one of the distinguishing things.
Look,
because
it makes the top three.
Me being attracted to guys, I can agree with you, Daniel. Like, there's all these things we have in common when looking at the
teeth.
Sex of our attraction. But, like, I'm not attracted to breasts because men don't generally have breasts.
Guess William's not dating any bodybuilders.
I think it's always going to make the top three, William. But I think that guys are into other things, and Pornhub's data or whatever basically shows that searches for porn emphasizing breasts has declined with the millennial generation. That's their point. And that's the point of the article.
I just don't think they're making a correct connection here. I don't think it's that millennials are like, oh man, Hooters is actually about breasts. I think if you actually ask them, I don't think they would actually realize that Hooters was a pun on breasts anymore. Hooters is much less about breasts nowadays, and it's more about just going into a relaxed environment where you can watch the game and nobody's going to bug you.
Yeah.
That's it's more not what so it's much, about.
It's not so much that millennials don't like breasts is that they hate birds.
Well, Justin, I think you're onto something here, because I know we've been we've had some stories about the decline of viewership in the NFL and stuff like that. Like, Hooters just relies a lot on sports, especially NFL, for their for their traffic. So, like, it makes perfect sense to me. I would see that as a much more causative factor than the fact that you know, patriarchy is the reason why. Hooters
well, 100%, because William, let's put it this way. I'll tell you a story from when I was young. Is we used to go to the spring break in Florida, not literally spring break, but we would have 2 weeks off instead of a week in February, a week in April when I was growing up. So when I'm in high school and middle school, and we'd go to Florida for 2 weeks. My dad would bring us down to Florida. And sometimes when March Madness was on, we wanted to watch the games. So my dad brought us to eat at Hooters. And people are like, you really brought your sons to Hooters to watch a game? Like, isn't that inappropriate? He goes, we're sitting on the beach all day. It's the year 2018. Like, if you want to see scantily clad women, you don't go to Hooters. They're covered up compared to the world. You walk outside and girls are wearing less. You just go on Instagram. You don't need to go to Hooters. You go on Instagram and you see women wearing less for attention.
So yeah, they're especially more covered up if you go into the John Rawls franchise. Hooters?
Well, gosh. I have the perfect SJW answer to fix Hooters. They should all wear burkas.
That's what I mean. John Rawls.
Should be full,
that's right.
Yeah, should be fully,
no, burkas
fully
not
burka.
Enough. They've got to wear like those Halloween costumes where you literally turn yourself into a shower. Where you have like a shower curtain all around your body.
Oh.
Like that would be ideal.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is this literally like you're not even going to know what gender they are behind the curtain?
Yeah. Who knows if they're a human? Could be. Could be a velociraptor. You don't know. John Rawls.
All right. Well, I think if we're going to talk about social justice gone wrong, I think we need to talk about a movie that was released recently and was ironically successful. It's time for The Hopeful Romantic with JML. Gentlemen, I think you might expect this because I have a Filipino girlfriend, but I have recently done the tour of Asian movies that have been released. I saw Searching, starring John Cho. I actually just finished, right before we were recording this episode, I just finished watching To All the Boys on Netflix, starring Laura Condor, who played Jubilee in the most recent X-Men movie. And I saw the smash hit, based on the novel, Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh boy.
So I have a question for you, Justin. Did your girlfriend get any ideas about how to become rich?
Yeah. Hate America.
My question for you is, at what point does this become a fetish?
Oh, during the third one. There's actually a scene where the Laura Condor is in the hot tub with a guy on a ski trip, and the way it was shot, like the lighting was like all blue and like they were speaking really low to each other and there was like really ambient music. And I was like, this is a porn, right? And my girlfriend's looking at me like, no, but are you sure this is a porn, right?
Are you sure? I've seen this one. I'm pretty sure I know how this ends. Well, it has a happy ending.
I pretty much said that, did I go, because I would watch this if this was a porn. And she goes, your yellow fever is totally coming out. So, yeah, by the time I got to the third movie, it basically had become a fetish. The thing with Crazy Rich Asians is you guys have seen all the hype around this, right? They tried to do the Wakanda Forever with this, right? And my girlfriend actually was saying that to me, where she's saying, like, why are all of these Asians, like, getting all excited about this movie on Instagram. It's just a movie, but they're all like, hey, I saw Crazy Rich Asians, representation, I love it, blah, blah, blah. And this is especially ironic when you watch the movie. So the movie is about this girl played by, what's her name from Fresh Off the Boat, Daniel?
Constance Wu.
Mom. Yeah, Constance Wu plays the mom on Fresh Off the Boat. And she plays an economics professor at NYU. So she's this self-made woman, right? Her mother came over here as a single mother and immigrated from China and raised her here. And she made something of herself. And she meets this guy. And this guy's like, oh, do you want to go back to Singapore where I'm from to go to my best friend's wedding? And she's like, oh, okay, you know, I'll go back. And when she goes back, she finds out that actually he comes from old money, old Chinese money, who then moved to Singapore and became the biggest developers in Singapore. So she's basically dating the Prince Harry of Singapore. And the entire movie is about how nobody wants to accept her, especially the matriarch of her boyfriend's family. Nobody wants to accept her because she's an American who's very individualistic. And she comes from a poor Chinese immigrant mother. So they don't want to accept her. And actually, at one point, the mother even makes a slur at her. The matriarch makes a slur at her that's like, all you Americans always think about yourself and your own happiness first. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, what's the point? And at the end, that is why she actually ends up with the guy, is because she is an individual and the mother ends up seeing the value in that. And that is what the movie supports ultimately. Whereas my girlfriend who read the book was telling me that, as opposed to my girlfriend who didn't read the book.
Like, how many girlfriends are you up to now?
Well, when they're Asian, they're like bite size. So you have to have like a pocket full.
Yeah, so she read the book and she told me that the book doesn't end that way. So the movie actually went out of its way to have a pro-America, pro-individualistic message. And America. I think that's especially ironic that Asians are out there acting like this is some collectivist movie and they're trumpeting it like it's a victory for social justice for the Asians, as if the Asians ever asked for social justice to help them or needed it. Right?
They don't need it. They have math.
Yeah.
But Justin, is that, I think that's just a marketing thing, right? Like, we've seen a lot of failed attempts, at least in the gaming industry, of social justice marketing. How much of this is just social justice marketing? Like the movie stands on its own, like you said, on individualist grounds. So, like, whatever is, I guess it was a disjointed marketing, like not in line with what the movie is. It would be the first time we've seen that.
Yeah, it's certainly they're taking advantage of it. I was more speaking to the irony that people have bought into it and they're not even understanding the movie they're seeing to feel any shame when they come out and go, oh wow, I fucked that up pretty badly. I went in expecting collectivism and here I am, because a lot of these Asians in Southern California, right, they are literally the parents of immigrants who left their collectivist country and then came here and supposedly to take advantage of individualism. Now they're falling back into the collectivism that was shown as negative and malevolent in this movie. You think they would have like a moment of self-realization and go, fuck, like I fucked up. But then other ones, they're just on there going, wow, I'm going to see it for the third time. Yay, Asians. This is an Asian movie. Yay. It's like, how do you see it fucking three times and you don't get the point?
Yeah.
Now, William, as far as standing on its own, I want to be clear. It's a good movie. It has a good theme. And they definitely were trying to throw back to a lot of Hollywood classics with the movie, with the music and the establishing shots and a lot of the way it was directed. My main critique of this movie is when it gets to Singapore and they're going through the effort to show the wealth there and the wealthy family and how she's a fish out of water, it becomes really slow and boring until they introduce the conflict between her and the mother. Because up to that point, it's like, oh man, I'm watching E! Network. Oh man, like I don't care how rich all these people are. And as Ayn Rand actually said to me about it, because I was telling her I was going to review the movie because I figured, hey, she hates us. Maybe I can entice her to listen. She was like, yeah, thank God for Awkwafina. And, you know, that's pretty much what the movie was. It was like, oh, this is an interesting beginning. Oh, this is boring as shit. Okay, Awkwafina shows up and says some funny shit. Then we get into the conflict and it becomes an enjoyable movie. So it's not
Awkwafina is a person?
Yeah. You don't know who Awkwafina is?
I was like, what the hell does rip off bottled water have to do with anything?
Yeah, no, I was confused too.
Awkwafina, A-W-K.
Oh, I learned this. Yes, I learned this. Okay, yes, I remember.
She was also
this
in Ocean's 8. Yeah. She started as a comedy rapper, and now she's become a comedic actress.
I just didn't put two and two together. I was just. It's like you have to go through a cleanse while you're watching the movie.
Dude, it's an Asian movie. Every Asian actor you can think of is in the movie. Except Jackie Chan.
They pass out the little towelettes before the movie starts, and you have to wipe your hands, and it's an
soundtrack
Asian movie.
Soundtrack by Yoko Ono.
pretty much. But yeah, so, you know, it's a fun movie, but it's interesting to see where we're at culturally and the way people are dealing with it. So yeah. I wouldn't, look, Daniel, if Faison wants to see it, I wouldn't say don't see it. I think you'll enjoy it.
All right. I'm not going to go see it, but all right.
All right. So let's move on. And Daniel, I think you should take the lead on Trailer Takedown here because you're going to be leaving the episode because you don't want to see any dick pics this week. So you just want to do Trailer Takedown. So I think you should take the lead. And
or
as always,
yes.
As always, if you want to see the trailers before we talk about them, you can just go to themidside.com where the Trailer Takedown preview is posted earlier in the week. Or you can, you know, during when Daniel's introducing them, just stop and then watch the trailer and then Daniel can introduce it. Or at any point, maybe you just like don't agree with what we're saying and you want to watch the trailer again. You can go to the website and look at the trailers.
Trailer Takedown. First trailer.
Slice is a comedy horror starring Zazie Beetz, Catherine Cunningham, and Hannibal Buress. The tagline is this: when a pizza delivery driver is murdered on the job, the city searches for someone to blame. Ghosts? Drug dealers? A disgraced werewolf? This movie also has Paul Scheer in it, who looks to play a pizza shop manager. And it is written by Austin Vesely, who also directs it. I don't know Austin. But it seems to be in the sort of genre of Shaun of the Dead or any of the sort of comedy horrors that you see where there is a sort of supernatural premise, but people are aware of how ludicrous it is. I will have to say that I'm actually inclined to see this as I like irreverence in my horror. I don't like serious horror. I like it to be not taken seriously. I liked the trailer that we reviewed, and I watched the film, actually, The Babysitter on Netflix, which was directed by McGee. So I have some hope for this. Paul Scheer's funny. I am hugging.
Hug.
Justin?
I enjoy the fact that I have turned you into a horror comedy fan. I enjoy that. Because we all
know...
Another
Door!
Exactly! It's one of my favorite movies, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That's the horror comedy classic. And then Santa's Sleigh, Daniel, if you have not seen that yet and you're getting into horror comedy, you need to watch that. Bill Goldberg as an evil Santa Claus.
That sounds great. It sounds like a sequel to the... What was the Thanksgiving turkey one we watched? With the killer turkey. We watched it at Clemson, but I don't remember the title of it.
I don't remember this either. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch this. I think one of these
concussions... I want to say it's Gobbles, but that's not it.
Anyway, it's even better than that. It's one of the funniest horror comedies I've ever seen. Just picture Bill Goldberg making dad jokes about an evil Santa Claus and killing people.
Sounds great. So what do you think of this?
So this... I think you forgot to mention Hannibal Buress. He has been recently. Yeah, you said... Yeah, but I'm saying as funny. You were like, Paul Scheer's funny, you fucking racist. You mentioned the white guy.
Well, he took down Bill Cosby, so a little resentment.
I think Bill Cosby drugging and raping women took down Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby drugged himself?
Yeah. No, I think... Look, this is just one of those movies where, like, I'm not going to go out of my way to see it, but I'm enough of a horror comedy fan that I'll probably end up watching it on Netflix at some point or something. Like, it's probably going to be funny. It's probably going to be worth watching because, like you say, it's just irreverent. And I got to give it a hug.
Hug.
William?
I'm giving this a soft Urban Meyer tackle. I'm not so much into the horror comedy stuff, although I did like Shaun of the Dead. I always say this, if I don't get a good giggle in the preview for a comedy, there's probably no hope, and there were no giggles. So, tackle.
Second trailer.
The Old Man and the Gun is the latest and perhaps last Robert Redford vehicle. Based on the true story of Forrest Tucker and his audacious escape from San Quentin at the age of 70 to an unprecedented string of heists that confounded authorities and enchanted the public. Robert Redford plays a bank robber who is going around falling in love with Sissy Spacek and whatnot, meets old man Danny Glover and some others. John David Washington is in this. Casey Affleck is in this. Tika Sumpter is in this. So it's fairly star-studded. And it has a very retro vibe to it, all the way down to the title typography, which is a 70s throwback font. If it wasn't Robert Redford, I might actually be into this. This might actually intrigue me, despite the fact that I typically don't like old people love stories. But the bank robbing is interesting, the fact that he's 70 is interesting. If this had been, I don't know, Justin, Clint Eastwood, I might be into this. But it's not, so tackle.
Tackle.
Justin?
I actually had the same reaction you did. Completely the same reaction, where I was like, yeah, I feel like this is supposed to be Clint Eastwood. This is like Dirty Harry all over again. Yeah, where's Clint Eastwood? But first of all, you're so much better at this than I am. Maybe you should do Trailer Takedown from now on.
What if I just do the whole show?
See, I had that thought in my head too, and I was like, I hope he doesn't go there, so I'm taking a risk saying this. Damn it.
You're fired.
And the other question I have for you, because I'm going to throw this back to you. Yeah, I know it was your Trump, but I'm ignoring you. Is this, you say you always want original stuff. Is this original or is this non-original because it's a throwback?
I think it's fairly original. Even though it's based on a true story, it doesn't seem to be based on a book. It doesn't seem to be a remake. So I'm going to put this in the original camp, and I like that element of it. I just don't like Robert Redford. Never have, never will.
I get you, but I'm going to look past that because you know what? I want more movies like this and less movies like the crap we're getting because it seems like everything is social justice now. So I'm going to hug this.
Hug.
Fair enough. William?
Yeah, Justin, you kind of stole my thunder there. I was thinking, man, an actual original-ish story with no social justice? I might be into this. There might be some guns. Definitely some chases, some ingenuity.
Well, there's one
gun.
It
does have the...
It's the gun. William, yeah. It was one gun, the gun.
I do think it's a little tired, the anti-hero sort of like trope, but I'm going to give it a tentative hug.
Tackle.
Also, Daniel, what, you're just against old people sex? Like, we only want to watch like Asian sex now? Is that what this
without
is?
Boobs. Without boobs.
I didn't
boobs,
say though. I was against old people sex. I said I was against old people falling in love. There's a difference.
So they're so old, just stick to the sex now. You've had your term for the romance.
That's right. I don't need you pursuing Sissy Spacek at a diner. We've seen that a million times.
So
just
all the
get
red
the
pill,
scene.
All the red pill, all the black pill out there are actually wrong. The cock carousel is not in your 20s. It's actually in your 60s plus.
Yes, there you go. Exactly what I was thinking.
Yep.
Final trailer.
The Oath is an Ike Barinholtz written and directed comedy thriller action. According to IMDb. I don't know about that action part. We'll see. The tagline is this. In a politically divided America, a man struggles to make it through the Thanksgiving holiday without destroying his family. It stars Billy Magnuson and Tiffany Haddish, with also some roles for John Cho. Haddish? Sorry. Nora Dunn, Carrie Brownstein, John Barinholtz, Chris Ellis, and a few other comedians you may or may not have heard of. The scene that predominates this trailer is a Thanksgiving dinner where a mixed race couple is visiting the man's family, and the man promises not to make it political. And then in a cut shot, he starts screaming at them, "You're all Nazis." And then they start beating the hell out of each other. And it apparently is a commentary on American politics. The oath refers to an oath that apparently the government is making people take to be patriots or something to that effect. And it's supposed to be a conservative thing. So no. Maybe it's funny. Maybe there is some good political satire here. But guilty until proven innocent in the era of social justice, I will let someone else bite that bullet. Tackle. Justin?
That's me, I think is what you're referring to. I mean,
that's
I'm
me,
in for this.
Justin.
It's me, Justin. I'm going to win. I can do that because I'm Italian. Fuck off. All right, nobody get mad at me all of a sudden. No, I think this looks funny, and I think it could go either way. I'm a bit worried because it seems to be from a leftist veil with the whole, because I am smarter than you. And then you drop the line where the woman on the right says, why is it every time a liberal gets mad, they call the other side Nazis? So it seems like a caricature of Trump's America with the whole oath thing, too. And it actually reminds me, I don't know if any of you watch USA Network these days. That's where pro wrestling is on now. WWE Raw is on there. And sometimes I see trailers, and I swear to fucking God, trailers for USA shows, I swear to fucking God, I'm watching this commercial. And I thought it was like a news story or something that they were trying to make about Trump's America. And it turned into something for the Purge TV show. Because it was all about, oh, we need to bring things back to our founding fathers and make it so this country is as amazing as it was to begin with. And so they're talking about making the Purge much like the first Purge again. And they're doing a whole series about it. But they also made it a thinly veiled thing about Donald Trump. And the current media's obsession with Donald Trump is just baffling to me. And the reason it's baffling to me is the only reason they would be this upset with him, this obsessed with him, is if they saw him as that much of a threat. Because they weren't this bad about Bush 43. They weren't this bad about any of the other Republican candidates. So unless they just always see Republicans as this kind of threat and we're just finally seeing behind the veil, there's something about Trump really threatens them, and I just don't see him as that threatening.
Hug then.
So I'm gonna hug this just because I want.
In summary,
I'm gonna hug this because I just want to see what the fuck's going on. I think it could be funny because at the end it does degenerate into horror comedy.
Hug.
Yeah. Well, it's not gonna matter much because Trump will be impeached in the next month anyway. Okay, William.
Yeah. What? So the consequence of Daniel taking over Trailer Takedown is that Justin just won't stop talking.
Wait, isn't that the show? I thought that was the premise of this show.
I thought that was the tagline.
Yeah.
Shut up, Justin.
I thought the farce we were witnessing was me not shutting up.
Yes.
Yeah, that could be. That very well could be. Yeah, this didn't look interesting to me particularly. I don't really get this family being a family. You look at it and it seems like a commercial for social justice. Like just even the cover photo on the YouTube preview is, you look at it and it looks like every commercial that you see today where you're like, oh, the Tolkien everything is represented. I don't know. It smells too much of social justice. I'm going to tackle.
I feel like the token everything and the Tolkien everything are very different everythings.
Damn it, I was going to make that joke.
Yeah, one I appreciate and watch, and the other I don't.
One is a hobbit. All right, well, thanks for that. And I'm going to peace out now while Justin and company take on the third segment. Thanks, everyone. I'll be back next week. Tell a friend. That's my shill. See ya.
Man, he just drops that bomb on us about the Trump impeachment and then leaves. Maybe he's involved in it. I don't want to say that. I don't want to implicate him. But let's move on. There are other actually dumber things that have been said recently on the internet. And we're going to talk about that as we take a dick pic. So I actually found a couple similar tweets on Twitter, William, and I find them absolutely hilarious. When we're talking about witnessing the farce, I think these dick pics, which are pretty much, they're like the same dick, except one's like maybe half an inch shorter, I would say. And then, you know, the second one is like, it's maybe the second one's more veiny. That's what it is.
Yeah,
they're so similar, and they're so funny to me.
So for those of you joining the show for the first time, dick pic, of course, is our dumb internet comment. So we've got two of these here. So here's the first one.
Yeah, I told you Daniel was better at this than I was. So you read the first one, and I'll read the second one.
All right. The first one goes, Molly Tibbetts was murdered because she told a man to leave her alone while she was jogging. But because he was an illegal immigrant, you all want to advocate for border control instead of against the root of the problem, violence towards women for saying no.
So what they're, of course, talking about here is the young woman in Iowa who was killed in her hometown. She went for a jog. She disappeared. And it later found out that a young man who was an illegal immigrant from Mexico killed her. He had followed her and apparently rejected her, and then he killed her.
So, well, no, she rejected him. He didn't reject her.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He accepted her into his trunk.
Yeah. He rejected her from life is what he rejected her from. But yes, she rejected him, and then he later on killed her. And of course, people are blaming illegal immigrants. So these dick pics are the response to that. And this next one is very similar to what William just read. Molly Tibbetts was murdered because she told a man to leave her alone while she was jogging. Her murderer happens to be undocumented. This isn't about border security. This is about toxic masculinity. Molly Tibbetts lost her life because a man couldn't take her saying no. Full stop. What's interesting to me about this, or what's funny to me about this, William, first of all, I want to say I appreciate that the second one is at least more honest than the first one. The second one is just like, yeah, we're going to blame all men. But what I find so funny is they're like, hey, don't be collectivist. Don't blame all the illegal aliens. Don't blame them all as a group. Blame all the men as a group. It's like they're committing the same flaw that they're complaining about.
Yeah, yeah, I'm about to say it. False dichotomy, bro. We cannot look through the lens of tribalism and get at truth. And this is exactly... both facts can be true at the same time. That some men are dangerous and that some illegals are dangerous. Both those facts are true, but basing our how we interact with either class of people based on particular people in that class, that's the way to just ratchet up that interpersonal hostility up to 11.
Well, and that's 100% what it does. So one side's making it so there's even more hostility towards immigrants of all kinds, because it's really hard to tell if someone's illegal or not. Like, I was at an Angels game the other day, and this Mexican guy walks by me, and he's like, here legally. And I'm reading his shirt, and then he looks at me because he sees I'm reading my shirt, and I'm a white guy, and he, like, smirks at me. And I just wanted to say to him, like, dude, I never would have assumed you were here illegally.
You should have given him a high five and said, me too.
Yeah, except that would have been weird in today's day and age. He would have been like, wait, you were sexually assaulted too?
And no, does he mean he's in America legally or in the stadium legally? Because both were true, right?
It had like a graphic of like a sombrero or some shit. There was something on it that made it seem like he was here in America.
What I'm hearing though is that if I, you know, owned some sort of like farm in Oxnard that hired illegals, I just need to print out a whole run of these shirts.
Right, that's true too. It's like, does that convince me that you're not illegal? Like, wouldn't that mean you're more illegal? Because like someone who's legal doesn't need to wear that shirt, right? It's like you're trying to divert my attention. I just found it interesting that he like got satisfaction from the fact that I was reading his shirt like he somehow offended me. Or I was just, you had something written on your shirt. You have something written on your shirt. I'm going to read it. It's not that I'm offended by it.
Let's be honest. You were looking at his breasts.
He did. He was pretty fat. He did have pretty big breasts.
Yep.
I mean, it was a sports game, so it's natural for me to want to look at some Hooters. So, yeah, it's just, William, the fact that, are they not aware of this? Are they aware of this? It's like, this is pretty dumb.
No.
This is pretty dumb.
They are not aware of it at all. You know, there's been a lot of the debates that I've been in recently they see no irony in calling for us to treat particular classes of people like individuals, but then other classes of people as a group. That there's no irony in this. Like the razor is always going to be individualism, and we just see like this tribalism and group mentality just constantly erases context and nuance and erases the individual.
Completely. I mean, she says a man couldn't take her saying no, and then somehow it becomes about toxic masculinity. So she even uses the single article there. It's just,
yeah,
it's insane. It's insane. This is a pretty bad one. Do you have anything else to say?
No, I think I said it all.
Yeah, it's... If you guys see anything this dumb, or even dumber, which I don't know if that's possible, send us your dick pics.
Not that one, though. Dumb internet comment.
What did we learn this trip, William?
Oh, man, it's like right away when Daniel's out here. Well, I learned that if you're a man and you're 17, that it's perfectly okay for your TV mom to have sex with you.
And what did you learn, Justin? Oh, thank you, Justin. So I learned that I should probably just give up hosting for two reasons. One, Daniel's better at it than I am. And two, I'm sure somebody in my past at some point did something really fucked up that's against social justice. So it's only a matter of time before I'm canceled from the internet.
So did you too have family members that in the past made racially insensitive remarks? Let us know by leaving a 5-star rating on iTunes or Google Play. You can also catch the show on Liberty.me. Hello, Liberty.me listeners. And don't forget to go to our website, themidside.com and themidside.com/Patreon, where you can be a Patreon supporter. It gives you You give a little bit of money for each time that we give out content, and in return, we give you access to our awesome Discord server. Now, the Discord server is open to everyone, but there's some super secret channels that only Patreon supporters can join. And if you want to join our Discord, just go to themidside.com, and you can see the link, or facebook.com/themidside.
Yeah, and make sure when you're looking for Patreon, you're not going to the website, because you can't search for us on Patreon. Does that mean we've been shadow banned? I don't know. But as William said, patreon.com/themidside or themidside.com/Patreon. This concludes your journey into the midside. I'm Justin M. Wisniewski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a day.
Go search for Anne in our Instagram. Fuck, I can't believe I said her name wrong. Let me take that again from the top.
Wow.
Stop, because I realized that I realized when I wrote it, the script didn't make sense. So I was like, fuck, I'm halfway through this line, and the script doesn't make sense, so I got to flip it. All right.
So you're saying the show prep has gone downhill.
Fuck off, William.